everybody. Welcome to episode 251 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J. As today, I am joined by Maritimes pro wrestling star, Chantel. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today I am joined by Maritimes pro wrestling star, Chantel. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am fantastic to be speaking with you today. I must say, it's not very often where I'm actually behind in a time zone, so it feels very strange that you're an hour ahead of me, I must say. But I am so happy to be talking with you today. And of course, before we get into all things pro wrestling, can you tell me about your little adorable dog?
Yes. So I have two dogs that I love more than anything. I rescued them from Georgia, so they are little Canadians now, and rescuing them just made me want to volunteer some of my time for dog rescuing. So I'm part of a dog rescue organization, and it's the best thing. It's the best decision that I could have made.
Wrestle for Paws, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So what kinds of dogs do you have currently right now?
So one is a pit bull mix with, I think he has some bulldog in him because he has the big face. His name is Steven. And then my other one, he has some pit bull in him, but also mixed with a boxer. So he has that little underbite. Mm-hmm. So my boys, his name is Chaco.
I love that. That's adorable. Yeah. I myself have two cats and find it that sometimes pets and animals in general have weird quirks or strange habits or just funny things they do. So I'm wondering, does either of your dogs have any weird quirks or habits that they do?
Not that I can think of. They're really night and day. So Steven is 8 years old and Chaco is 2 years old. So that's a big difference in personality and age wise. So Steven is really calm, but sometimes he'll just get this boost of excitement where he's laying down on the bed. Then he just looks at me and he goes right on his back. And I don't know, I just call him he's doing the shark kind of thing. He's laying on his back with his mouth open and he just tries to nibble at my hand. And Chaco's just an excited little still a pup. He will take my slippers and just run around the house with it. So
yeah. So with especially too though with an older dog, growing up with a young puppy, I assume at that time, was the older one kind of apprehensive or territorial when you introduced? Again, I don't know. Assuming did they come in together or was it at separate times?
No. I've actually only had them for a year. So I rescued them from Georgia. So Steven was a stray all his life. He was running around the streets of Georgia, all his life for 6 years. And I think Chaco was too young, still a puppy. So he doesn't really get that he was a street dog. Got it. Whereas Steven lived all his life with nothing and just probably eaten out of the garbage. So that's why I always say he's the wise one. He's just the calmer one because he's been places, seen things kind of thing. But when I got them, Steven was just kind of oh, cool. You're excited. Just do your thing and leave me alone.
I mean, I completely get that too, especially too, I feel because of the big age difference in terms of dog years, the 8 year old is definitely very matured as to where the other one is still growing up, even at 2 years old, still.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
I definitely get that too. I mean, as a dog rescuer too, I mean, I feel you have to be there's probably so many emotional stories or things you've come across. So for you, maybe what has been the most emotional story you've heard or experienced when rescuing a dog?
Probably any dog that's been we've had a lot of dogs that we're trying to save. So we're teaming up with a lot of shelters where they are like kill shelters in the South, but they don't want to, they rather have help in like sending them to homes. So there's a lot of dogs that they find on the streets that maybe has been attacked by another dog, and they're like they're in like very poor conditions. So I always try to either find an adopter for that dog or a foster. So in Canada here, and I'm constantly posting and trying to find like foster homes, because I rather have them come to a house as opposed to having them stay at a shelter with a bunch of other barking dogs, not a comfortable place for them. Like, you know, they barely have beds or anything. So I'm trying to like save them urgently as opposed to like other dogs that are perfectly healthy still in the shelter. Like, we'll find them homes, but like the urgent ones that just got attacked by another dog kind of thing, or was living on a chain all their lives, I'm like, okay, like they need to like find a home in the comfort of a home and have someone care for them, as opposed to like just going straight to a shelter and have like not minimal care. Like, they still, the volunteers at shelters are doing a good job, but it's just so hard because they have so many other dogs, so the focus is not on them as care.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially too when you're going into a shelter, like you said, surrounded by all these other dogs and animals like barking or making whatever animal sound they'll make. It's got to be probably in like not intimidating, or I don't know. Yes. It just, you don't get as much like personalized care or attention needed to treat that dog or kind of situate them. So that makes sense though. But with Wrestle for Paws, is there a certain way that the listeners can support or even donate so they can maybe help out if needed?
Yes. So Wrestle for Paws is like, that's attached to like my wrestling, where I will promote the dog rescue. The organization that I'm with, so Wrestle for Paws is like my page where I try to find people to notice the rescue. But the rescue itself, the name is Hearts of the North, because in where I am in New Brunswick, Canada, we're like up north. So that's like a Facebook page. It's called Hearts of the North, and all the adopters are on that group. So it's like a group where people can submit their application to adopt a dog. But as Wrestle for Paws, it's just like a page that people can like. And I just put some information from our group, like rescue stories. And if they want to donate, then there's like a link for a PayPal if they want to donate. So either Wrestle for Paws is the Facebook page, and then the rescue itself to adopt through, it's a group on Facebook called Hearts of the North.
Hearts of the North. I like that a lot too. Of course, I've been an animal person my whole life, but I mean, I'm very curious, and maybe it would be a dog for you, but what animal do you think would be your spirit animal and why?
That's a tough question. Like, I don't know, based on my personality, like I absolutely love dogs. I also love cats, but I don't know. It's really hard. I would probably say like a wolf. I think like based on my personality, definitely a wolf. Just because like I'm just a go-getter. Like I would probably be like the pack leader. I want to like make things happen kind of thing.
Now, would you say you're like kind of nocturnal too? Because wolves, I feel like, are known for like howling at the moon and being up all night and stuff like that.
Yes. Like when it comes to like working effortlessly until like I find a solution, I'll be up all night. So I probably, definitely my spirit animal is the wolf.
Fair enough. I like that a lot too. And of course, besides rescuing dogs and besides wrestling, you're also a former dance teacher, correct?
Yes. Yes, that was my original passion. And then I found wrestling. I still love dance. Sometimes I think about returning to teaching just like on the side, because breaking into pro wrestling and like wanting to give a lot of your time to pro wrestling, it's very, very hard when you have like a full-time job and, you know, you're trying to like get places, but you can only do so much with the time off that you have kind of thing. So I've been thinking of going back to like dance teaching where I could make my own schedule or like just something that I could work, like be my own boss kind of thing. Just finding that solution to give more of my time to pro wrestling.
What kind of dance did you teach priorly?
Well, believe it or not, as savage as I am in the ring, I used to be a ballet teacher.
I assume that that's something I danced for 5 years. I don't think it was definitely as intense as yours was to become a teacher, but how yeah. long were you, I maybe not assume, but were you dancing like growing up too as well? And yes. So that's what made you turn to, okay. So yes. how long were you active in the dancing before you became a teacher?
Probably 16 years. So I started dancing when I was 7. I'd never like missed a year. I was dancing like all genres. Like I was dancing hip hop, jazz,
yes.
Lyrical, ballet, like all of the, even tap. So I was very, very active in all those years. And then when I was 23, 24, I had my own dance school in like a town where that was like 1 hour past where I was from. So every Sunday to teach my classes, I would drive 1 hour every Sunday, and I really committed my time to that. I loved it, but then I just kind of realized like I don't really want to live in that town. Like that's just not where I see myself going. And then I was kind of like just finding out about pro wrestling again because I was such a fan when I was younger, and then I kind of lost interest in my teenage years, just living my teen life. And then around that time, I kind of found pro wrestling again because there was shows everywhere and I just wanted to travel and go to those shows. So I just decided to move 2 hours away, like past that, in a bigger city just for like more opportunities. And I just kind of like put the dance on hold, on pause. And I've been, you know, active in pro wrestling ever since.
You know what? I'm finding a theme here too, is you've been traveling a lot to like teaching or even train. I mean, an hour is nothing compared to 6 hours driving to training. That, I don't know. That's a lot of commitment to you, and I give kudos to you.
But
during like those long drives, like to training in Quebec too for wrestling, did you kind of have any go-to road trip playlists or songs that would get you through it?
I was listening to like podcasts.
Yeah.
Probably at that time I was listening to a lot of Steve Austin podcasts. I can't remember what the name of that, that podcast was, but it's like a murder mystery podcast. Like I always found it interesting. So when I was like just driving by myself, I was just listening to those. Or if I wasn't listening to a podcast, I would like, even though I was not teaching dance anymore, I would always put on some songs and have a choreography in my head, but obviously still focusing on the road. But so yeah, I just anything. I just enjoy driving like for long drives by myself, especially at night when there's no other cars, smooth drive. And I don't know, it's just therapeutic for me.
I see, you're very brave because I feel like not a lot of people would be listening to murder mysteries at night on long drives.
I know. I felt safe in my car.
Fair. It's definitely, you're definitely tough for that. You definitely got a good heart there for that. I'm definitely, I yeah. love like murder mysteries and like true crime and stuff like that. I just don't know if I'd be able to like do that all night, if that makes sense.
No, like if I was like by myself at home, I don't think I would, just because like I'm not in a car constantly like moving.
Fair.
If I was just at home, I'd definitely be like maybe I'll watch it during the day, not at night.
Yeah, that's so funny though too. But I mean, like with your background in dance, do you feel like that is translated well or tied into your in-ring work in wrestling at all?
It has, yes, absolutely. It has helped me with my footsteps, with any kicks, being very flexible, there's a lot that I can practice or like grow with my in-ring skills that would be related to like anything dance techniques. So it has really helped me a lot.
Interesting. How would you classify your wrestling style as? I know there's like strong style, lucha, there's like technically based, brawler. How would you classify your style as?
It's hard to say because right now I'm just in the process of like training more and more as much as I ever did. Probably more for the strong style, but you know, I'm a striker, as opposed to moves, like I strike a lot. And anything that involves like power moves, I'm like still working on that, like definitely at the gym. That's what I'm like aiming to do. I just want to grow my like wrestling skills. I would love to go train somewhere for more of a lucha style, so I'm comfortable with all styles kind of thing. So I'm in the process of like going for like more learning in any styles.
Yeah, you want to be versatile and be like fluid in learning styles, because not every opponent is going to have the same style as you. Definitely.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
With training too, I feel like, I mean, a lot of things are trial and error maybe. So for you, is there like maybe a certain move or a spot that you've thought of that you've wanted to try out at least once?
It's really hard to say. For the longest time, I always had the same go-tos and I just myself got bored with it. So I thought it's time to up my game. Because if I'm bored with my own, set of moves, then how do you think the fans feel, you know? Especially if like it's the same promotion and it's the same fans, they'll remember that. So I don't really have like any go-tos. Like I'm really, really open to like trying new things. So yeah, I'm like right in my peak of like adding more to my move sets right now. So that it's a really tough question.
Okay, well, stay tuned. Yeah. Basically, we'll leave it as the people are going to be excited to see what you have coming up next. But quickly looking back, I mean, at your first 4 or 5 years in the pro wrestling industry, what are a few things that you're personally or professionally proud of yourself?
Just going out there and without hesitation, even though I didn't really believe in myself at first and I was struggling, and I kept telling myself like, I don't know if I can do this. At the end of it, after it was all said and done, it was fine. I was smile on my face. Like, even if it didn't go as planned, still happy because I went out there and I did it. I was very, very fortunate to, in my first, I think it was my first year and a half, I had a match with Alicia Edwards.
Yes.
From Impact Wrestling. And then in my, like the first 2 years of my career, I didn't really travel much. But then I stayed in my area for the longest time and there was not very many women. So I was always against men. So that's why I was forced to develop that savage style where I had to give my all and fight as hard as I could just to like, you know, just to be that stronger person and like to get someone down, because most of my opponents were bigger men, you know?
They definitely were. And I mean, you've been able to match up from what I've seen very well, especially only a few years in still, and especially in the midst of the pandemic and all of that, you've been able to adjust accordingly too. And I feel like another cool aspect of you that I really, really love is honestly your ring gear. And so I really wanted to know more about maybe the inspirations or the stories behind your current set of ring gear.
My very, very first ring gear, the first year that I broke into pro wrestling, me and another wrestler, Madison Miles, went to Vegas. There was the Cauliflower Alley Club convention, where it's a convention of where you can like meet other people that's in this business and just make connections. And I met someone that was working like wrestling shows at that time, who was also a professional gear maker. So I said, I don't know who I am as a wrestler yet, but all I know is, because then he would ask like, okay, well, what do you like? What's your, what do you like doing? And I was like, kind of like, I was also a, not a pro motocross rider. I had a motocross.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, like the very basic, but those at that time were my two passions, dance and motocross. He's like, okay, I'll try to like fix something up for you, like kind of like a design. So we went with like a two color gear with the kind of the X in yes. front of my chest. So that was kind of for the motocross. So I love that. But then I wanted to have it kind of blue. I was really liking the metallic, like blue, like dark blue. And I just always like black. So I just kind of switched the black and blue gear. And yeah, I just always had my go-to black and blue gear. And I think I'm gonna stay on that. Like, that's like my go-to colors. So yeah, so originally it started as that. And then I had like a top eight that was black and blue. And I just kept going and rolling with that one.
If it works, it works too. And I feel like black is always a classic color that works for everybody. So I like that. It's a tie in a little, like, I feel like subtle kind of homage to your motocross stuff. So I think that's really cool. And I especially too, from your point of view, I feel like ring gear is like a really underrated like presentation of a character, especially in like the arts aspect of pro wrestling. So for you, who do you think has like the best ring gear game or aesthetic in pro wrestling today? Like, who do you really admire in that department?
So it would be the same person that I would love to have a match against. It would be Toni Storm.
Yeah.
Love her style, love her gear, love everything about this person. Like, she is amazing.
She is so amazing. And I mean, now she's like going to be, or is soon to be, a free agent again. Well, she is a free agent, but soon to be free in the next upcoming weeks. So never say never.
Exactly. Pro wrestling is a wonderful business, and anything can happen.
Exactly. And to start closing things out, I feel like another visual part of your look is definitely your tattoos. So I was very curious, could you tell us the story or meaning behind your very first tattoo?
Yes. So I was 16 and I've always been like, I wouldn't say I was a wild child, but you know, I had a little bit of like more of like a wild side more than a little angel, you know?
Yes.
So I went for my first tattoo. I had my dad sign, because I think like at that time, either 15 or 16, you still had like needed a parent's signature.
Yeah.
So he signed before I went, and he just never thought anything of it. I went and got the same tattoo as my favorite singer at that time in like a punk rock band. Mm-hmm. So the band is the Distillers, the singer's Brody Dale. So she had a tattoo on right on her arm, and it was like a skull with wings next to its like kind of side head, and a little cute pink bow on top. So I went and I got that done. I got home and my dad was like, well, you know, I really thought you were going for a ballerina. I like, this is surprising for me, but you know, you can't turn back now.
Would you? Yeah. Were tattoos like, I don't know, like, I guess openly accepted or like taboo in like the ballet world?
Well, it was kind of like at the very top of my arm, like kind of like where my shoulder is. So okay. I would always wear like long sleeves. Mm. Anytime that we would have a wrestling show. See, that's how I wrestling. Every time that we would have a dance show.
Yeah.
I would just like cover up with foundation.
True. There's a lot of good foundations and like concealers out there. that I've seen, and it's actually a pretty cool transformation, I must say.
Yes. Yeah. So it was, I did that for the rest of the years that I had with dancing with the dance school.
Now, do you have any visions or plans for your next tattoo in mind?
Not really. I have this like really botched tattoo on my, my rib, on my side, that I did when I was 18 for super cheap. And I know, like, after I went, like, went to that place, I was like, oh, that's why, like, they only charge me this. Because it was so, like, anyways. So I asked for, like, some sort of, like, design tribal on my ribs. And I basically have yellow beans. Like, they look like yellow beans. It's just, like, it's horrible. So I obviously want to cover that up, but it's such a big, like, it goes, like, all the way to, like, all on my side. So yeah, it's really, it's a tough decision to think, what can I do that will go all over my side? Like, it has to be a pretty big tattoo. So it has to be something. So it's definitely going to be hard to think of the right design or the right, you know, tattoo to put there, because it's going to stay on me forever. It's not just an arm tattoo.
Yeah. Especially if it's going to like wrap around on the side too. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. A lot of thinking there to do.
Yes.
But to close things out, we're all about hashtag girl power here on A Wrestling Gal. Maybe Toni Storm is one for you, but is there any female in your personal or professional life that inspires or empowers you the most?
That would be my best friend, Madison Miles. When I first went to a wrestling show, she was only 16 and she was wrestling.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, I need to talk to this young girl. So I did. And there was no other females at that time. So she was very, very happy that I went up to her and I was like, you know what? Like, I would love to join. Like, can you point me in the right direction? And she's like, oh my goodness. Like, absolutely. And so like we became friends, and I would go over at her house, and we would go to the ring. There was a ring at that time close to where she was living, and she kind of took me under her wing, and we wrestled a lot together on our on my first year, because she was on, we were the only females there. So we grew a bond, and we're like still best friends to this day. She's moved to the UK with her boyfriend now, and she wrestles most full time now. So yes, I really, really look up to her. Like, she's in life and in wrestling.
Definitely too. Love that too, when you can have somebody close, like in wrestling, but also like personally to develop that support system too. But Chantel, before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yes. So pretty much on all social media. So starting with Facebook, it's just Chantel with a little dash pro wrestler. And then you have Instagram. So it will be SVG for Savage and then underscore Chantel. And it's the same thing for Twitter, SVG underscore Chantel.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Well, thank you so, so much for having me.